We're up to the Mishnah on the top of Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis in Perek Habona. Hakosev Shtei Osios Behalim Echad Chayev is Chayev Chatas. So he didn't remember that it was prohibited until after he wrote both Osios. If he had a if he had a yidia between the first os and the second os, he would not be chayev chatas. Kasa b'dyo b'sam b'sikra b'komos u'b'kankantum u'b'choldo v'shu roshem, etc., etc. We'll get back to that in a minute, but just in terms of the materials and the inks that he used, chayev. So let's give an English translation of these various types of ink. There's ink, that's called dyo. Then there's paint, which is called sam. Sikra is a red pigment. Komos is gum. And kankantum is copper sulfate. So we need to take a crash course on ink. B'chol dover shu roshem. Anything that marks, which means something that has a permanence. Al shnei kosle zavios, on two walls that form a corner. So he wrote one letter on the eastern side, one letter on the northern side, and they form a 90 degree angle, and they're close to both close to that northeast corner. Al shnei levache pinkas, on two tablets of a ledger. So you have a ledger that's open. He wrote one letter on one side, on one tablet, another letter on the other. Vehem negin zemze, but they could be read together, because they're not so far apart. In all these cases, chayev. Hakosev al besaro, if he writes on his flesh with ink, chayev. That's also considered a permanent writing. And the human flesh is a viable writing surface for a ksav hamiskayin. Now, it could be that with the pass of time, this script will disappear, but the writing is still liable. So we have something that's inherently durable, but later will be erased. So, for example, you know, in Shari Tzedek Hospital, they use, you know, ink that's going to evaporate with time. But that's not something that from the get-go was meant to be or could be permanent. That's not a dio for ksiva of permanence. But here's a case where his body heat will eventually cause this ksav, this script, to disappear. But in and of itself, human flesh is capable of being miskayim. Hamisoret al besaro. So he scratches letters onto his flesh using some sort of a lime substance. Let's just read the Hebrew translation. He says, Hakosev al besaro b'dyo chayov, Hamesoret al besaro shosa sritos b'besaro b'dover chad kitzuras osio. So he uses a very sharp kind of an object to write on his basar. And for example, Rashi gives the example of eight barzel, and there's something called a sira. Anyway, he uses whatever it is to scratch out letters on his body. Or perhaps he doesn't even have to scratch out letters, it also could be sritos, and that we'll have to discuss as a separate topic. Rabbi Eliezer Mechayev Chatos v'chachomim potrim. And the question is whether this was a normal kind of ksiva. Is this their ksiva, and therefore you should be chayv for kosev? And in any event, everybody agrees that for the fact that he draws blood from his body, that's not enough to mechayv, because he doesn't have kavana to draw blood. That's not his interest, and that's called mekalkel. Kosa v'mashkin. And he gives the example of Metusim Shehukshiru. So he's got an example here of pomegranate juice, or mulberry juice, or some liquid that could produce a black effect. or he's got b'mei peros. So mei peros, how is it different than mashkim? He writes here that mashkim is yayin v'cholov, and mei peros is tusim. So not the way we interpret it according to Rashi, that mashkim refers to mei peros like tusim, because then we're going to have a problem, what's the difference between that and mei peros? But rather, we'll take the Ritz pshat, who says that mashkin is a reference to yayin and cholov, and mei peros is tusim. Then the Mishnah says, bavak drachim, which literally means the dust of the roads, but he translates it here as tit, which is some sort of a concrete form. Bavak ha-sofrim, he says, is efroris hamunachos betachtis shalakeses ha-sofer. So these are the scribe's dust, which is the residue found at the bottom of the inkwell. And the final upshot of this entire paragraph is b'chol davar she'eno miskayim potur. So meperos and mashkin and avak drachim avak sofrim are not miskayim. These are not long-lasting, permanent materials for writing. It's not like ink. And that's why he's potur, because ksiva requires a ksiva miskayemes, and b'shogi he doesn't have to bring a chatos. All these cases are osur midrabanan, but it's not a violation of the biblical malacha of ksiva. Now we have other cases where he's potur, liachar yodo, right? He turns his hand the other direction and he holds on to the quill, you know, in the opposite direction, instead of in front of him, from behind of him, and he writes from behind. Or alternatively, he holds on to the kulmus biraglo, in the fingers of his feet, meaning between his toes, befiv. Alternatively, he holds the quill in his mouth, bimarpeko, or he can fold it into his elbow. He holds the pen either with his toes, his mouth, or with his elbow. This is called kilachariyat. It's an unusual ksiva, and in all these cases, he'll be potter. Kosavos achas somach l'ksav, v'kosav al gabi ksav, v'ksav al gabi ksav. So we have a case where he writes a letter alongside a script. So let's say it was a letter that was written before Shabbos, and on Shabbos, he writes a letter alongside that which was written before Shabbos. Let's say he wrote one letter before Shabbos, now he adds another letter alongside it on Shabbos. Now he's got a two-letter unit. So even though he only wrote one letter on Shabbos, but nevertheless he has a unit of two letters now. Or ksav al gabi ksav, he wrote over an existing script. So he superimposed two letters over two letters that are already written, and he reinforces the two letters. Niskavi luto ches because of shtei zaynin. Right, a ches is made up of two zions with a crossbar on the top, but he didn't cross it on the top. So his intention was to write a ches, but he never completed his intention. He ended up with two zions. Or if he wrote achas ba'aretz v'achas b'korah, one letter on the ground, one on a beam on top, and they cannot be read together. Or kosav al shnei kosley abayis, he wrote on two different walls of his house, al shnei dafi pinchas, on two different parts of a ledger. Ein negim zev, he said, you cannot read the two together, potter. So in all these cases, he is potter. And we'll break it up into three categories. The first category is kilach yad, like he writes behind his hand, or he writes with his elbow, with his foot, with his toes. You know, he holds on to the quill with his toes, or his mouth. And that's category number one, which is potter. Category number two is the issue of negim zemzeh, He has to write two letters that are negim zemim. If he writes one letter, even though it's negim with a previous letter that was written before Shabbos, he's not chayav. And the various other cases of enom negim zemim says, number one, achas boretz, achas bekorah, number two, al shnei kosli abayis, number three, al shnei dape pinchas. And finally, he didn't have in mind to write two letters. He did write two letters. He had in mind to write one letter, but he ended up writing two letters. He wanted to write a ches, and he wrote two zeinin. Kosav os achas notrikun. Notrikun means sometimes you can write one letter. It's the beginning of a word, and everyone understands the meaning of the word, even though he only wrote one letter. Is Rabbi Yeshua ben Beserah Machai v'chachom in poetry. Chachom have an absolute requirement. He's got to write two letters. And here he did not write two letters. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, the two letters are only significant because it completes an idea, completes a word. If you have a one letter that completes a word, that's called notrikon, then you're chayev. Because for all intents and purposes, you wrote a complete word. That's the chumra of Rabbi Yeshua ben Beserah, that you chayev for one word as an notrikon. We're up to the Gemara. The Gemara says, what is diosa? The Gemara assumes, since they were writing it for the Babylonians, that they would understand diosa better than dio. For us, we understand dio better than diosa. And that's called black ink. Sam is sama, is a paint. It could be called arpiment, which is a yellow arsenic. Sikra is red pigment. Amar Rabba Barbra Chana, sakrasashma. The real name of sikra is sakrasa, and it's a kind of a red lead, and in Latin it's called a minium, and that was a dye that was used very commonly in earlier times to color the shutters. And then kumos is koma, which is gum or gum Arabic. Kankantum is copper sulfate. Omarab barchanam shmuel Charta de Ushpache. In other words, there's another name for kankantum, and it's synonymous, and that is the shoemaker's blackening. Ubechol dover shu roshem lasuye mai. When the Mishnah phrases a general rule, it must be including something that we might not have included. And that's lasuye adetani Rabbi Chananya. You know, you might miss up on what Rabbi Chananya says, that Ksovo b'mei tario v'aptza kosher. And this halacha in Hilchos Gerushin and Ksiva Saget, that if he wrote a divorce with a kind of water that comes from the rain, but in this case we're talking about mei tario, which that means rainwater, that includes dirty, collected rainwater. And aftza is a reference to gullet juice, gull nut juice. Let's see in the Hebrew if that helps us. He says, just a second, I'm just, pages always seem to stick together on me. He says that, okay, komos, finest koma, which is a strafa yotzim in a ilon, kankantum, charta de ushpichai, de ushkafe. He calls it sam, shetzvao shachor, it's got a black color. It's a chemical that's black. Shemethikim, and they manufactured from the sores shel nechoshes, from the shard of nechoshes of copper, and he calls it here. One second, he calls it a shoemaker's blackening of fine, and then he has Meitaria's Maima Yotsumi Prisha Shmo Kach. It's a fruit that's called a Taria. Okay, we said that it was a kind of rainwater. He doesn't have it as a fruit. Okay, so he quotes another possibility that it's a fruit. He thinks that this tarya is a bean steeped. I don't know what that is. And afatza, he says, is mayim shesharubahem afatzim. Okay. Which are peros rak, agdel bi'eitz mimine harozim. Shemehem mifikim dio. All right, maybe this is called some sort of a gum. Again, he calls it gallnut juice. Ani Rabbi Chiya ksavo bi'aver. Now we're talking again about a get, and he wrote it he pronounced it here avar, which is oferes, lead, bishachar, which he identifies as pecham, which are the charcoals, and he's got bishichar, which is charta de ushpechi. Okay, so we're back to charta de ushpechi, which we said was a kind of a psalm that was painted black, and it came from the nesoros of copper. Kind of blacksmith's ink, probably. Kosher. And if they're kosher for get, then we assume, ipso facto, that you would be chayav for Shabbos. Why? Because that would be considered rishumam nikar. So both in Shabbos, as far as melechus kosev, and in get, as far as v'kosav, v'nosam v'yoda, kosav means permanent. A rishum hamiskayim. Then we have the Mishnah of Hamasorit al Besoro, Rabbi Eliezer Machayev Chachomim Potrim, Tanya Omer Lahem, Rabbi Eliezer Chachomim, Vahalo Ben Sithida, Hotzik Shafim, Mimitzrayim, Besrita Sha'al Besoro. So we're talking about someone by the name of Ben Setida, and apparently he took sorcery from Mitzrayim. And how did he do this? By making scratches on his flesh. The Egyptian sorcerers would inspect anyone leaving Egypt to ensure that he was not smuggling out copies, written copies of their sorcery, their spells, and use it in other countries. So Ben Sedida scratched the spells on his body to avoid being caught. So in any event, we see Muchach Shederek Ksiva. So this is an accepted method of Ksiva to write on your body. Amulah the Chacham say, are you going to prove something from Ben Sidida that this is called Derek Siva Shotehoya? He was an idiot for doing such a thing. Machmashtus Shaislos Dover Shein Derek Bnei Odom Lasus. No one would write such a spell on his hands, on his body. Aim of Vim Rayam in a Shotim. You know, you want to decide what and determine what is considered Ksiva and what's normal Ksiva. Don't bring a Raya from stupid people who do crazy things. And they're a bunch of crazies. Rashi says that Ben Sidida acted as a shota in a deranged manner when he scratched these sorcery spells onto his body. Writing of that sort is injurious. It could injure him. And that's not considered kidarko. That's not considered a ksiva. So he wrote one letter alongside a script that had another letter on it, and you could read them together. He's potter. Mantana, who's the author of this psak. Omar Rava bar Rav Hemnuna de Loki Rabbi Eliezer cannot reflect the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. De'i Rabbi Eliezer ha'omar achas ala orig chayav. Okay, we're talking about meleches ariga, which is weaving, and he added one thread to a fabric, a woven fabric, and guess what? He's chayav. And so too, if you add one letter to a previously written letter, then you should be chayav, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So the maskona here is based on Rav's statement that our Mishnah would not be in accordance with the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Then the Mishnah says, ksav al gabi ksav, he's potter. So he wrote on top of letters, letters on top of letters, script on top of script, and he's potter. Mantana, to whom can we attribute that opinion? Amar Rav Chisda de Lok Rav Yehuda. It's against Rav Yehuda. The Sanya, the Braisa tells us that Hare Shahayetzorech Lichtov Es Hashem. He wanted to write the name of Hashem. And instead, his kavana was Lichtov Yehuda. So he added a Dalid before the last He. And in such a case, although he meant to write Yud K Vav K, he thought that the next word that he was really up to at that point was Yehuda. And Tav Elohito Bo Dalid, he made a second error, and although he wanted to write the word Yehuda, he left out the Dalit. So in effect he wrote Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is exactly what he was meant to write. And according to the Tanakh, according to Rav Yehuda, Mavir Olav Kulmus Umakacho, the second Ksav, which will be written Lishma, Lishem Yud Kei Vav Kei, for the name of Hashem, sanctifies the ksav. In other words, it replaces the ksav tachton and establishes the validity of the ksav elyon. And if that be the case, then on Shabbos he would be chayav for a second ksav. Chachomim omrim, ein Hashem min amuvchar, which means that the name of Hashem is only a mitzvah min amuvchar. Nimtza shel das Rav Yehuda havaras kulmus nechsheves l'ksiva gemura af hakosev b'shabes ksav al gavi ksav tzorech lios chayev v'kevin shel daito ksiva zui ksiva gemura mishnasenu shepotra b'kach hi kidas chachomim asovim shavaras hakulmus lo machshiras haksav harishon Bishum shaksav al gavi ksav enu nechshav l'ksav. So according to Chachamim, the second ksav is not a valid ksav, and it cannot be machshir the ksav, meaning you cannot change the ksav tachton and replace it with the ksav elyon. So how does that fit into the words of the Chachamim? Ein Hashem min hamuvchar. So he writes, Ha'emesi shel das chachamim ksivas kazu psula v'yena ksheir afilu b'di'evet mishum shel daitem ksav agavi ksav v'yena nechshav l'ksav nimtza shekosav as Hashem b'lo kavona u'masha amru chachamim. Oh, now we get to our question, what is ein Hashem in a muvchar? L'shitas Rabbi Yehuda amru chen, they were talking to Rabbi Yehuda on his turf, so to speak, klomar, as if to say l'shitaska, according to your opinion that the second ksav is a valid ksav, at least you should be moda to us that with avaras kulmis al Hashem shenichta v'lo b'kavona ein Hashem min hamuvchar. You'd have to agree with us that that's only a fallback position to salvage the validity and qualification of the Sefer Torah. However, this is certainly not writing the Shem Hashem b'tzura muvcheres. This is not the way it should be written. Tana, we learned in a brisa, kosav os achas vishlima le sefer. Here's a case where you're chayv for writing one letter. We've been discussing this for a while, and we always came to the conclusion that one letter is not enough for a meleches ksiva to generate a chiyuv. But here's a case where it is considered a melacha chashuva and shlema, when the book that he was writing was in absence, what was missing was one single letter, and he wrote that one single letter, and now the sefer is a sefer shlema. It's a complete sefer. And it doesn't have to be the last letter of the book. It could be any letter of the book that's missing, even in the middle of the book. Orag chut echad v'shlima lebeged. So he has a garment that he's weaving, and it's missing one single thread. We normally say that you're not chayv for less than two threads, but here, since you're mashlim the beged, you needed that one last chut, is there for his chayv. That gives it a special chashivus. Now, it's interesting, the Meiri, in this case of chut echad, he says the following, that the chiyuvim here in these two cases are ksiva and ariga respectively. However, many of the achronim reject this meiri. They think that what the Gemara is telling us here in this brisa is that you're chayv for makeh bepatish. You've completed something that was incomplete. The Gemara asks Mantana, which Tana is the author of this brisa? Amar Rav Abar, Rav Huna, Rabbi Eliezer, he diomar, achas al ha'orig chayav. That if you add to the ariga one single orig, let's see what the word orig means. It's not, just one second. Oh, he says that he's adding one thread. I was afraid to say that because I thought the word for thread should be chut. So probably what he means is chut achas al ha'orig. The orig is the woven fabric, but he needs one more thread. And Rabbi Barav Huna says that in such a case he's chayav. Rav Ashi Omar, afilu tamer rabbanon, lashlim shiny. Even the Rabbanan, who say that one thread to a previously woven fabric is not enough to generate a chiyuv v'ariga, but nevertheless, the Chacham would agree that if you're completing an entire garment, or in the case of ksiva, an entire book, that's a different story. So if a person is chayiv for the malach of kosev or oreg, for adding one letter, or one thread, which became choshev, and that's the way the Meiri learns this. So the Bryce is not talking about his being chayev for meleches makeh bepatish. Therefore, that's called lahashlim shiny, that he has chashivas of ksiva or ariga in these cases of one letter or one thread, but the discussion here about makeh bepatish is completely omitted. So let's just read the footnote here. He says, "Lahashlim shiny, shonehu maisa shlomas dover shashloma hu yotzer." The shlemus that he's creating is machshiva samaisa afkshe ein bo shir. So you don't need the shir because you have the chashivas. The shir is only a method of getting chashivas. Now Rashi interprets that this brisa of hishlima lesefer is referring to the last letter of one of the 24 holy books of Tanakh. And the Minchas Chinuch thinks that the Rashi was compelled to this because the word lahashlim of hashloma, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his will wanted a certain specific number of letters and words, and we're not commissioned or allowed to change that, and therefore the last letter that he adds is mashlim the sefer. However, in other books, let's call it secular books that a human made, then you can either add something or subtract something, and it'll never really be hashlama. It's never called a perfect, complete entity. That's only applicable to the divine books of the Chavdal Sifrei Kodesh, and that's why Rashi insists that we're talking about one of those 24 holy books of the Holy Writ. However, Rabbeinu Chananel says that, let's take the example of Tefillin or Mezuzah. If you were to add one letter to the parasha of Tefillin or Mezuzah, and that would make it kosher, that would also come under this. So you don't have to be mashal the sefer of the 24 books. Now, if you recall, we had identified the Tana, the Braisa, as Rabbi Eliezer. And it seems that the Tana gave this example of Ksiva Mashlemes Sefer or Riga Mashlemes Beged. And in these cases, you're Chayev. But if you're not Mashlem, you're not Chayev. But Rabbi Eliezer says you're Chayev in any case. Even if you write one letter in the middle of a book, that's where you're up to in writing the book, or one ariga of one chut in the middle of an ariga sabbege. So how does the Gemara identify the Tana of this price with Rabbi Eliezer? And the Avni Nezer says Yesh Lomar Shasiba Shenoker Tana Shal Abraisa Biofin Zehi Mishum Shal Daito Yesh Bekach Chidish Gadol Yosegar Measher Bekosei Vos Achas BeEmtza Sefer Ariga of Chut Echad BeEmtza Beged Lefish Ayomakom Lomar Shedafka Biofin Shaosek BeEmtza Malachto Is Chayev Afil BeMaisus Shupachas Mikashir Kshem Shavade Osid LaHosif BeMalachto Ad SheYigmar Malachto. The Yasa Shir Sholem. That gives the Chashivas. Avak Shfar Gomar Kol Malachta V'chaseri Logak Os Achas Ochut Echot, which is Pachas Mikashir. Haya Makom Lomar, we could argue Shabba Ofen Zed, in this case, Lotia Chashivus Lasia Pachas Mikashir. Here we need a full Shir. And why is that? Kemen She'ein Zu Aschola Shal Shir Sholem. You know, we're not anticipating that he's going to go beyond and finish this up. And therefore, the Tana gives us this example of Hashlama, which might be at the end of his Malacha, at the end of the book, at the end of the Beged, to tell you that even in this case, he's Chayev, because Hashlama gives it a Maisa Chashivas, the status of being a significant act, even if there's no Shir. Omar Avi Ami, Kosavos Achas Bitveria, Vios Achas Bitzipori. So he writes two different letters in two different cities. Chayev. Why? We always said you need Negim Zemizeh, that they have to be close in proximity. Mishum Kshekseva Hi Zu. All he has to do is take the parchment in Tveria and bring it over to Tzipori or vice versa and put the two parchments together, and then it is readable. As opposed to our Mishnah, Vatanan in our Mishnah, Kosav al Shnei Kosle Abayis, al Shnei Dapi Apinkos, V'ein Negim Ze Im Ze Potur. So why is it that if the osios are far away from each other, such that they cannot be read together, that's a chisarim leches kosev, and yet Rav Ami says, well, one letter is in Tveria, the other is in Tzipori, and he's chayev, because it's only mechusa kreva. So Gemara answers, hasam in our Mishnah, if you want to add the two letters together so that they should be read together, is mechusa maisa the kreva. In other words, krevasam, their close proximity is mechuseres maisa. You have to do a maisa, an extra maisa, in order to be carry them one to the other. Because he wrote on two different walls, he's going to have to cut down the wall. The Gemara is going to be mechalik between Kosovo Sachs Tveri Kososas Tzipori, in the case of Kosle Abayis, we're a nenig in Zemis. In the first case, Yichai, in the second case, Pot, also in our Mishnah, when you have to be Mitzarev two Osios, so they can be read together, it's Mechusa Maisa de Kreva. In other words, you're going to have to, as we said before, take apart the walls in order to get the two walls together. But Hacha, in Rav Ami's case, Lo Mechusa Maisa de Kreva, Kreva Asameinu Mechusaris Maisa Kloma, Shlo Tzarech Lasos Maisa Nosa Bilvad HaKrav Asam Zu Zu. Right, he wrote on one luach, let's say towards the left side of the corner of the luach, and he wrote on another luach in another city on the right corner. So you just have to take these two luchos together and bring them together. He doesn't have to make any structural change. He doesn't have to bang down his walls. And that's called lo mechus of Maisa de Kreva. So Maisa de Kreva means some sort of a profound, stupendous Maisa, you know, where you have to, you have two dape pinchas. So you're going to have to cut down the two dapim and cut off half of them in order to get the two osios near each other, or the case of Kosle Abayis. But in Tzipori and Tveria, there he wrote on two luchos, each one on a corner, and now he just bring the two luchos together. That's lo mechusa maisa de kreva. Okay, now we're going to go on to the braisa. Tana higia, he was metaken a sefer os achas. In other words, there was once a letter that was passing the entire sefer, and he fixes it. He's chayav. The Brisa says that he's chayav. So the Gemara asks the following kash: how could he be possibly chayav for one letter? Hashta kosav os achas. If he wrote a full letter, he's potter. And now he gios achas, he's chayav. Amar Rav Sheish Loch Maiskina Kugon Shetitolo Legago Shel Ches Vaso Shnei Zainin. According to Rav Sheshes, the case of the Brisa is that he needed two Zainin, and he had to remove the Gag of a Ches. If you remove the Gag of a Ches, then it becomes two Zainin. So basically, he's created two Zainin. Through the Mechika of the Gag of the Ches, he has created virtually two Zainin, and he wrote two Osios, and therefore he's chayav for writing two Osios. Rav Amar, Kigon Shenitolo Lesago Shel Delis. Vaso Kiresh. He had a Dalid, and mistakenly, and he needed a Resh. So what he does is he removes the top of the Dalid on the right side, that little spitz, that what's called a blita, and he was mochek the blita, and he made it into a resh. And even though it was only a hagah of one letter, he's chayav, because with this letter, with this hagah, he basically was misaking the entire sefer. The sefer was basically possible because of the fact that it had a dalid instead of a resh. And if he takes off part of the dalid and makes it into a resh, he was now mitaking the entire sefer. And that's like the case that we had before, if you remember, of Kosovos Achas Vishlimol Sefer. Right? He had a sefer that was missing one letter, and he added that letter, and he was mashlim the sefer. Everybody holds Yechayev in that case. Tana. Now we have another braisa about the case of someone who intended to write a ches and he wrote to Zainin. Niskavim lichtov os achas. His kavana was to write one single letter. V'ola b'yado shtayim, like he had in mind to write a ches, but he wasn't careful about the gag of the ches, and it turns out he wrote two zainin. Chayav. So the Gemara is very concerned about this. It doesn't make sense. Vasnan potur. The Mishnah says that he's potur in that case. Lo kasha, hadabai ziyune. If he needs two zainin, then he's chayav. If he doesn't need the zainin, then he's potter. So our Mishnah that says he's potter is talking about a case of zainin, hazainim adayin tzrichos ziyun v'tikun b'tagim. Kol zman shez lo zinon, lo hishlim, es malachto v'lachain potter. The brisa that says he's chayev is lo boy ziune hazeinin ein tzrichin od ziun betagim. They don't need any kind of crowns on them. He already made those crowns, and therefore he's going to be chayev because everything is complete. So let's just give a summary here. We're now on Daf Kuf Hey of an Aleph on the top of the Amud. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where the letters still need the crowns on the letters. And this is based on a Gemara Menachos on Chof Tesam and Beis, that in writing a mezuzah or in tefillin or in a Sefer Torah, certain letters, like for example the Zion, must have crowns on them. In the case of a Zion, we need three kinds of protrusions on top. And the Mishnah is talking about a case where the person did not yet complete the crowns of the Zions. Now the Ches is not one of the letters that are normally crowned. So the person intended to write a Ches, he ended up with two Zions, he doesn't have any crowns on them. But if on the other hand he already crowned the letters, but he intentionally wrote two letters that do not require crowns, or he wrote uncrowned letters in a book or a personal letter where crown is not required, that's when he's chayev. So hadalobo yizyune, case where he doesn't need crowns, and therefore he's chayev when he writes these letters. And again, either he doesn't need crowns because they're already crowned, or maybe these are letters that he does that don't require crowns. Or let's talk not about a Sefer Torah, but talk about a book or a personal letter where there's no requirement of crowning. In those cases, he's going to be chayev. Kosavachas no trikon. Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira machayev chacham potrim. He has one letter that serves as an abbreviation of a longer letter. Is he chayev for writing one letter? Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra minayin l'loshon no trikim in a Torah. How do we know that the Torah does utilize and validate a notrikin, some sort of an abbreviation? Shenemar, based on a pasuk in Bereishis, where it says hamon, which is a multitude. And that pasuk says, ki shenemar, ki av hamon goyim nisaticha. And truth be told, the word hamon here is totally superfluous. Hashem could have said that Avram was an Av of Goyim. He was a father of nations. Why does it have to say Hamon? And perhaps Hamon is a replacement for some other word. And we're going to read it as if it says Av Nisaticha Leumos. Bachar Nisaticha Baumos. And Hamon is Chaviv Nisaticha Ba'umos. So in other words, the letters of the Aleph Beis here, of the word Av, because it says Av Hamon, stand for, number one, Av Nisaticha Ba'umos, I've made you a father for nations. Beis is Bachur Nesatich Lumas, I've made you the chosen one, Bachur Milosh Bechira, amongst the nations. And then we have Av Hamon. So we're going to take the letters He, Mem, Vav, Nun of Av Hamon, of the word Hamon, and they stand for, number one, Chaviv Nesatich Abu'umos. Again, this is based on the fact that the He is often replaced by a ches, they're interchangeable letters. So chaviv nesaticha beumos, halavai that should be true of us today. Melech nesaticha leumos, I made you a king over the nations. So, for example, the children of Ches said to Avram Avinu, Nasi Elokim Atah B'Sochenu. That's a fulfillment of what it says here, that I've made you a melech over the umos. And now we have the Vav of Hamon, Vasik Nisaticha V'Umos. I've made you the distinguished one amongst the nations. And finally, the Nun, Neman Nisaticha Leumos. You are trusted to the nations. Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar. So that was Rabbi Yochanan, the name Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, but he himself, Rabbi Yochanan, has his own example of no trikon in the Torah. Anochi, the opening word of the Aseres Adibros, no trikon for Aleph, Nun, Chof, Yud, Ano, Nafshi, Ksivas, Yehovis. I myself wrote and gave the Torah. Rabbanan Amri, if you're looking for the acronym of Anochi, it's Amira Ne'ima Ksiva Yehiva. A pleasant statement was written and given. And now we have a third version, Ika Diamri Anochi Lemafre. You read it backwards, which is Yud Chaf Nun Aleph, as Yehiva Ksiva Nemonim Amoreha. It was given in writing, and reliable are its statements. Debei Rabbi Nosan Omar, they have a different pasuk in Bamidbar as a source for notrikun, ki yorat haderech lenegdi. The word yorat, we're talking about the angel's rebuke to Bilam for striking the mule, is because yorat, which means you hastened on the road to oppose me. You were very eager to join with Balak to curse the Jewish people. So that's the angel's rebuke to Bilam. And let's take the word Yorat as an otrikun. Yor'a ro'asa notisa, which means the mule was afraid, it saw an angel, and it turned aside. Because initially, the ason of Bilam was afraid to bring Bilam, transport him, to curse the Jews. But later it actually saw the angel of Hashem standing in its way, and it veered off the path. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, another pasuk, in this case Vayikra, that says, Carmel. In other words, that's the grains that were offered, that are to be offered as the Omer. Minchas HaOmer should be Carmel, Chaf, Reish, Mem, Lamed, and you read it Kar, Mole, a full head of grain, or a full pillow. Kar is a pillow. So the barley should be ground into flour, while moist and fresh. So each pillow-like shell is filled with completely ripened, plump kernel. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Omar, and now we have a posuk in Malachim. It says, "Vahu kilalani klolo nimretzes," and David HaMelech is saying about Shimi ben Gera that he cursed me with an explicit nimretzes curse. And the word nimretzes is nun mem resh tzadiv tof, no trikun, noefu, moavihu, rotzeachu, Sorehu Toevahu. A lot of nice words to say about Shimi ben Gera. Shimi called David an adulterer because of the Maisu with Bathsheba. And one second. So the word nimretzes in the Notrikun is describing the curse, which was an explicit nimretzes curse, klola nimretzes, made up of five different parts. First, he called David an adulterer. Secondly, he called him a Moabite because he was a descendant of Rus. Then he calls him a murderer because he sends Uriah out to battle to die. He's an enemy of the people, that's a general statement, an abomination, which is called Toeva. And finally, we get to the last example of Enotrikun, and that's going to be from Bracious again, Rav Nachbar Yitzhak Omar, Manidaber Umanitz Tadok, right? When Yachei Yosef were apprehended. They found a royal goblet, a gavia, amongst their sacks. So Yehuda declared, how can we speak? How can we justify ourselves? Nitztadek. So the word nitztadek is Nun Tzadi Tes Dalet Kuf. Nechonim Anachnu. We're really upright. Tzadikim Anachnu. Tahorim Anachnu. Dakim Anachnu, which means clean or innocent. And Kedoshim Anachnu, we're holy. The Mishnah says, HaKosei Shtei Osios B'Shtei HaLomos. If he has a Yediyah between two letters that he writes, Achas Shachar, say Achas Bein Arbayim, or for example, he writes a letter in the morning and another letter in the afternoon, and he doesn't have a Yediyah between the first writing and the second lining, but it's a very long interval of time, such that Rashi says he could have learned of his mistake, and therefore we assume that probably he did realize his mistake, is then, although Rabbi Gamliel says, Yechayev, the Chacham say, Yepotu. And the Chachamim see this as a Shtei Halomos Shogeg, as if there was a Yediyah Mafsekes. The Maiko Mifli says the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel, Sover, Ein Yediyah Lechatzi Shir, Rabbanan Savre, Yesh Yediyah Lechatzi Shir. Is there such a concept as a Yediyah when the Yediyah doesn't tell him that he violated a Chiyuv Malach? It only tells him that he violated a Chatzi Shir. And you know, one is tempted to think that perhaps this malacha really depends, this machlokas really depends upon how to define a chatzi shir. So the Rabbanan hold yesh yediyah lechatzi shir, and this yediyah is machalekas between the two ksivas, and makes it into two separate shgagos. Well, each ksiva is considered a chet bifnei atzmo, and it doesn't have a shir, and they're not mitztarif together. And that's called Yesh Yediyah Lechatzi Shir. The Yediyah is the Yediyah Mechalekes. And that's why he's Potter. And when it says in the Pasuk, Hoda Elov Chatoso, it means that he found out that he violated a Chet. And that's going to generate a Chiyuv Chatos. But, according to Chachamim, when it says, Hoda Elov Chatoso, it could include even the chait of a chatzi shir. That's also considered a chait. That's why I think it would be very tempting to apply the machlokas about whether chatzi shir is awesome in a Torah or not to this particular machlokas here about whether or not yediyah is machalkos in chatzi shir. Hadron Alecha Perek Habone. So, Mitzvah Shem, in the next shir, we'll start Perek Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar de Mila. No. This is not Rabbi Lazar de Mila. We're not ready for that yet. But we call it Perek Rabbi Eliezer.